Welcome to Opera Fix for the week of September 10th, 2018. Chuck Sax interviews Lembit Beecher, composer of Sky on Swings, which will run September 20th through 29th, part of Philadelphia Opera's festival, O2018. With a book by librettist Hanna Moscovich and directed by Joanna Settle, starring Federica von Stade and Marietta Simpson.
Hello, this is Chuck Sax from Indie Opera Podcast, and I'm here talking with Lembit Beecher, who's composer of Sky on Swings, which is premiering at Opera Philadelphia's Festival 018 in September. How are you doing, Lembit?
Doing very well. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, you found a creative home at Opera Philadelphia. How did that all start? How did that come about?
Through a lot of good fortune. I was not someone who had written a whole lot of opera. My dad used to listen to the Met broadcasts while chopping wood on the weekends. That was his favorite thing. So I had exposure to opera in that way. But in schooling, I hadn't written a lot until I met a young soprano named Mary Bonhag, who had a husband who was a double bass player, and ended up writing what I called an oratorio, a documentary oratorio for them, based on interviews I had done with my grandmother. And that was sort of my foray into vocal music. And I think Opera Philadelphia was interested enough in that they chose me as their composer in residence among a number of other sort of incredible composers. So I was very fortunate to have that sort of boot camp experience.
So that piece was I Will Remember Them, or...
This is And Then I Remember.
And Then I Remember. And that was your first vocal work?
I had written a few songs here or there, but it was my first attempt at a large-scale, semi-dramatic vocal piece. I have a knack of writing pieces. It was hard to remember titles, so hopefully that'll change in the future.
Well, you were opera composer in residence at Opera Philadelphia for 3 years. What did it all mean to you? I mean, what did you get out of the program?
I mean, that was an amazing experience on so many levels. Just creatively, it was a chance to explore in a way that I hadn't had the opportunity to do in school. It's the schools I went to were fabulous, but opera wasn't really emphasized as in most conservatories or most schools of music. So I could try. I was free to experiment. I think I wrote between 10 and 15 different scenes with different librettists, trying out different techniques, particularly of setting recit, of setting text, of working with different librettists and seeing how that felt. But then also the experience with an amazing introduction to the world of opera, to the way companies work at all levels, to the... I got to go to a bunch of the Opera America conferences, to the, you know, meeting the different people involved. So professionally, it was an amazing opportunity also.
Did you have any experience singing yourself before that, so you understood, at least had some understanding of the voice?
I'm a poor, very poor singer, but I do enjoy singing for myself. I would get together with friends and we'd put on a dat and sing sort of improvised canons and things. But it's I have no talent as a singer, just a growing love of the voice and all its potential.
Sky on Swings is based on characters who are in stages of Alzheimer's. What drew you and your collaborator, Hanna Moscovich, to write an opera about that?
Hanna was actually very nervous about this idea initially, and it was a project that developed over a long period of time. I first began thinking about it in the last stage of my residency with Opera Philadelphia. I had written a short scene in which one of the characters has Alzheimer's, and I don't think the scene particularly worked. I don't think my writing was very good in it. But afterwards, it was amazing to see how strong a reaction everyone had in the room, and how everyone had some connection to this material. Had either a loved one or a friend or someone in their family had an experience with the disease. And so these something that immediately resonated, and it felt these were operatic stakes. It's the end of life. There's a huge amount of drama involved. But then I think the thing that as I began working, thinking about this topic, maybe the two things that really inspired me further was the idea that this was a chance to try to tell a story about from the perspective of two characters with Alzheimer's. And I grew increasingly less interested in the story of the family surrounding the people with Alzheimer's, and even though there's a lot of drama there and people have stories there, I was more interested in that.
That would be, I mean, as we know from movie of the week kind of things, yeah. You know, they would focus more, there'd be a lot of focus on the family, what they're going through per se.
But in a lot of ways, that's a less interesting story or a more obvious story. And also, I just think that what opera does really well is it shows inner experience, and the line between inner experience and the outer world can be blurred in opera in a way that you can't in the sort of hyper-realism of a lot of TV. And then the other thing that was really exciting about this project was the idea of writing for older voices, try to write music that could only be sung by older singers, to take advantage of what they could do and not try to write for the way their voices sounded 30 years ago. And to try to write music that was really expressively and beautifully suggestive of physical degradation.
So you say older singers, and I know it's you've got Frederica von Stade and Marietta Simpson. When did you know that you'd be creating the two lead roles for people of that caliber?
Maybe a year and a quarter before the production. It was about the stage where I was really beginning to write. The libretto had been somewhat crafted, though not totally finished. The timing was very fortuitous. I was able to meet with them quite early in the process and get to know them and their voices and experiment a lot. And they were both so gracious and humble and unassuming, and just so powerfully expressive in everything they did vocally. It's a joy.
You were able to work with him a fair amount, and that helped shape the score.
And more than shape, maybe it defined the score in a lot of ways. One of the things I wanted to do was to not create a singular language for what Alzheimer's would be musically.
Because each patient is different.
It's so incredibly different, and so I wanted to find things in their voices that worked and that felt expressive. And that was a real joy. I think, I hope they would feel a collaborative effort.
So what are some of the ways you found to address and relate Alzheimer's through the singing technique?
In particular with Marietta Simpson, her character is named Martha, and she's more progressed in the disease. And she's at the point where language is really starting to fail her. And one thing I like about this project is its chance to write music that's incredibly expressive and suggests this deep sense of humanity, even when she's lost a sense of language.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a little bit of a vocal tick, a little vocal gesture, that she keeps coming back to and becomes more prominent throughout the piece. There's certain sort of mumbled type, very fast text, sort of semi-mumbled.
Okay.
And she does this amazing thing where she moves some sort of repeated text that's semi-clear into a mumble and back into sort of semi-clear repeated text.
So it's kind of the patient is kind of going in and out of consciousness while their mouth is still moving in a sense, right?
I think I would say that their expression, ability to express, is coming in and out. While I think the inner life is maintained to a larger degree.
And Guy on Swings, where does that title come from all this?
It comes from a line in the text, and it's a sort of a brief flash of a memory that Danny, the other character played by Flicka, that she has. It's a memory of seeing the sky while swinging, basically. And it's this type of sort of intense flash of memory that felt like a lot of the material for this piece. In the piece, there's a lot of these sort of intense or expressive moments that just slip away from your fingers. I think also the title was this feeling of the whole world sort of being a little bit untethered or swinging around you that the title felt expressive of.
So that came to encompass the the whole opera at that point, in a sense.
Yeah, and a lot of, I think what I was trying to do in the orchestral music is provide a landscape that doesn't quite feel grounded. And by the end of the piece, it's the, what's grounding the two characters are their voices and their relationship with each other, while the orchestral landscape is shifting and creaking around them.
What is your creation process like with Hannah? Because except for the oratorio, she has been your librettist for all the operas you've written at this point.
For Sky on Swings, we had a great opportunity to have actually the three of us, Hannah, myself, and Joanna Settle, the director, who's I think just absolutely fabulous. We had a sort of retreat together where we had some ideas about the piece, but we did a lot of reading and watching videos and fleshing out what we wanted the piece to be from each of our perspectives. And at that point, Hannah went away and came up with a treatment. We talked about the treatment a little more, mm-hmm. and then she wrote a libretto. And then we kept working on it. I think one thing with Hannah is that she's such a powerful writer, but incredibly flexible. And she's not, she has more and more experience now writing opera, working with me and doing some other projects. But she's not someone who writes to opera directly. She doesn't have a clear sense, or she doesn't have try to say, okay, here's an aria, it's in, you know, 4-bar phrases, mm-hmm. Here's a chorus section. So finding the musical form of set pieces is sort of a process that we go through back and forth. And
so she's not writing prose, she's writing, in a sense, more of a script.
She writes a lot of really beautifully expressive and poetic texts, but she doesn't immediately put in the types of repetitions and form that lends itself to an aria form. The thing I really like about that is that we together, once she's sort of written the first draft, together we find those aria moments or duet moments, and we also find the shape and form of what each sort of aria is going to be like. So it's not necessarily, you know, she doesn't write straight into da capo mm-hmm. form or some other sort of pre-existing box.
So do you find you're writing more, in a sense, set pieces, arias, duets, things, than through composed opera?
It's a mix. I think there's quite a lot of through composed music in it. But I love the opportunity to try to dig in and find some moment of sort of crystallizing moment that can become more of an aria.
What are the forces? I know we have the two lead mezzo-sopranos.
There's two other principal characters, a high soprano and a tenor, who are the children of each of the mezzos. And then there's four secondary characters who often sing together as a type of chorus. And it's 11 players.
Well, that's a good size. But I'm going to switch topics completely now. What is contemporary Estonian music? You have Estonian heritage, I mean, from both your parents.
So the name that I think a lot of people know is Arvo Pärt, who is a choral
composer. Yes.
Not in the opera world, but does a lot of religious choral music, string music. He's sort of in his own world. He's not particularly Estonian. He's Eastern Orthodox by religion, and most Estonians are actually pagan mostly, or old pagan. You know, there's some my grandmother was Lutheran, but he's maybe the best known Estonian composer. There's some Estonian composers. There's a great choral composer named Veljo Tormis who died a few years ago, who really pulled from Estonian folk music in a very deep and effective way, and he's maybe more traditionally Estonian in his output than someone like Pärt.
So are you promoting it through concerts, or are you incorporating it into your own music? How is that working?
For a while, when I was in, when I first moved to New York, I did a series of concerts at the Estonian House, where on the east side, I think in the 30s, if I remember right. And it was fun to discover a lot of Estonian music through putting on those concerts. Earlier in my career, I did some research on Estonian folk music and incorporated some of that in my music. By now, that's become less and less of a feature, though there are certain more abstract elements of Estonian music, the way that, say, in a call and response pattern, and a lot of Estonian folk songs, they have a particular pattern of say, call and response, where the second voice will come in a little bit earlier than you expect it to, and will join the last little bit of phrase of the first voice.
Okay.
And it's actually really effective, and those sorts of abstract things I'm really interested in, and I think have sort of wormed their way into my music, maybe less my operatic music, but somewhere it's there.
Yeah, it's interesting how your heritage wheedles its way, even if you're not directly thinking about it,
totally.
Into your music. We've got Sky and Swings coming up. What's next after that for you?
The piece I'm working on next is actually a chamber orchestra piece for the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, based around the idea of home. We did about 50 interviews with people around the St. Paul community about what home means to them, and a number of my pieces have sort of a little bit of a documentary element. And the goal of this piece is to really weave these recordings as seamlessly into the orchestral music as possible. So at times you're hearing people speaking and you're understanding what they're saying as text, and at times you're understanding it more as a musical element. You know, trying to find ways of doubling their voices with instruments to pick up on the pitch and inflections of what they're saying. So that's a goal, at least.
Well, good luck with that. I'm looking forward to... I'll please see you down when I see Sky and Swings. And this has been a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you.
And that's Opera Fix for this week. Thank you for listening.